This week on the Special Bulletin Review, Securing Our Citizens, sponsored by Verizon.
Welcome to Special Bulletin Review, Securing Our Citizens While Modernizing. I'm David Thornton. My guest today is Vice Admiral Scott Bushman, Atlantic Area Commander for the U.S. Coast Guard. We're talking about the upcoming hurricane season, how the Coast Guard prepares for it, and lessons learned from recent years. NOAA forecast an average hurricane season for this year. To what extent does the Coast Guard rely on NOAA's and other forecasts in preparing for an upcoming season?
Well, I'll tell you, Dave, we always look at the NOAA forecasts and pay close attention to them. As far as a seasonal prediction is concerned, it's something we definitely read, we definitely understand, but our preparations are going to be rigorous regardless of what type of hurricane season they predict, even if it's a below-average hurricane season. Because even if you have a below-average hurricane season, even in one of those years, you can still have a hurricane or hurricanes or even major hurricanes that make landfall, multiple landfalls, and impact an area of our country. So general rule of thumb we use is when it comes to hurricane seasons is we plan for the worst and then we hope for the best.
So that actually feeds into my next question pretty well. How much logistical preparation goes into preparing for a hurricane season, specifically like workforce and material prepositioning, getting your supply chain ready to handle an influx of extra work, extra materials? How does that work?
Yeah, I would say there's a lot of preparations that go into hurricane season, and that includes logistical, but a lot of other preparations in addition to that. And I think these preparations really go year-round, not just during hurricane season and before hurricane season, because we have to be ready for any contingency. The one advantage of a hurricane is it's a notice event. We have some advance notice that it's coming, so it gives a little bit of help in that regard. For hurricane season, we are constantly looking at our readiness. At the end of a hurricane season and the conclusion of a hurricane season, we're going to look at lessons learned to find ways we can do better and adjust our plans during the off season. And then prior to the start of a hurricane season, we will conduct a rigorous set of hurricane exercises. Well, we'll take a simulated storm and exercise all the steps needed, the many different steps that are needed for preparing for that storm and responding to that storm. And we conduct these exercises at all levels of the Coast Guard, even at the local level, at the field level. And we're working, when we do them, with our state partners, our local partners, and our federal partners. And we will also participate in any exercises they have at the local area. And then as we see a storm approaching or potential for a storm to approach, we're going to look at our system. We're going to look at that particular storm and make the necessary preparations for whatever that storm is predicted to bring. And it might include moving some of our ships, moving some of our aircraft, moving some of our boats. We might need to move them out of harm's way so they're protected. We protect that taxpayer investment, but not move them too far away so they can't come in immediately on the storm and providing response or assistance that's needed. And that includes pre-positioning our assets. It also includes the pre-positioning supplies that may be needed for whatever that particular storm looks like.
So these exercises you talked about, are these like tabletop exercises or are they boots on the ground practical exercises? What kind of forms do those take? If you can give me any kind of concrete examples, that'd be great.
Yeah, they take various forms. They're largely tabletop exercises. We'll go through a series of days. And we'll take a storm, a historical storm, an actual storm. We'll go through different steps, and we'll go through our planning and maneuvers. In some cases, we might move some assets. In some cases, we won't. And in some cases, we may move some people around. For example, if we're in a situation where we may need to relocate our people, we may go through that exercise already if we need to do something like that for a particular storm.
And you said these happen in participation with state and local partners. I assume it also works with federal partners like FEMA and CBP and other organizations that respond to these disasters?
Absolutely. Well, everyone that's involved in preparations for and response will be involved in these exercises. And if other agencies at the total local level conducting their exercises, which they do, we will participate in those exercises.
And so you mentioned lessons learned. You're always taking lessons from previous storms and how previous responses went. The past 2 years have been pretty heavy hurricane activity, especially down in the Gulf and in the East Coast. What kinds of lessons learned have you taken from the last couple of years?
Yeah, thanks for the question. Well, I got to tell you, from a Coast Guard perspective, we're certainly proud of our response over the 2017 hurricane seasons. We saved about 13,000 lives, and we really did that in support of the impacted states, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, the territories in the Virgin Islands. But while we're proud of our response, we are always looking at our response, our preparations, and identifying things we can do better going forward. And there are a number of things after the 2017 storms that we identified that we've been working on to do better. And they're pretty varied. That includes personnel items, you know, how we mobilize the people that we're going to mobilize to go down to an affected area, includes what kind of qualifications and what kind of skill sets they may need for whatever we ask them to do. We look at technology things, technology that provides what we call a common operating picture for our operational commanders, our on-scene commanders, that allows them to track assets and people in real time. We've identified some tools that allow some of our assets, our boats and our helicopters, that typically operate in a maritime environment over water, and in a hurricane, they're operating over land when they're assisting folks sometimes. So how you dispatch a helicopter in a maritime environment and how you dispatch them over land where you're sending them to an address is very, very different. We've identified some technology that helps us do that. We've also purchased some new assets, such as shallow water boats to aid in flood response, and incorporated some small U.S. technology for the teams that work those boats to help them when they go out there to assist people in some flooding situations. And those are a couple of examples from the past couple of hurricane seasons that we've identified we've been working on to make sure we're making continuous improvements going forward.
After the break, I'll continue speaking with Vice Admiral Scott Bushman, Atlantic Area Commander for the U.S. Coast Guard, about hurricane preparedness. I'm David Thornton.
Advancements in technologies present federal agencies with both opportunities and challenges. At Verizon, we embrace those challenges. Verizon invests billions in our global networks every year to deliver secure data reliably. Our advanced communication solutions and modern call centers connect your workforce and citizens in the office, in the field, and internationally. We're committed to modernization that delivers better mission results faster. Verizon, we don't wait for the future, we build it. VerizonEnterprise.com/federalIT.
Welcome back to Special Bulletin Review, Securing Our Citizens While Modernizing. I'm David Thornton. My guest is Vice Admiral Scott Bushman, Atlantic Area Commander for the U.S. Coast Guard. We're talking about the upcoming hurricane season, how the Coast Guard prepares for it, and lessons learned from recent years. What about fallout? Is there anything from the past 2 years that you're still dealing with, things that you're still trying to figure out how to react to, how to fix something that went wrong possibly? Or
this is fallout from our response efforts from the past couple of hurricane seasons are concluded for the most part. And the last couple of things we were working on was really related to pollution from boats that got washed ashore, boats that got submerged due to the impacts of the winds or the storm surge. We still have damage to many of our facilities in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands and Florida and Texas, Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina. So we have some temporary facilities, some temporary repairs of them. But I'll tell you, we were very fortunate that there have been two different disaster supplementals that provided us the resources not only to repair these facilities, but in many cases, rebuild them in a resilient state so they're capable of surviving future storms. And I would be remiss if I didn't thank the support of the administration and Congress for giving us the funds to do these. But it will be a couple years till we're able to complete these construction and resiliency projects.
That's interesting. You're actually you're modernizing these facilities as you repair them?
Some cases we're repairing them. Some cases we're building new facilities. And when we're building new facilities, we're building to a resiliency standard. We take lessons learned. In some cases, you may be raising a facility up. In some cases, you may be building a more hardened structure that can withstand the impacts of the storm so we can reconstitute even quicker than we've done so in the past.
That's interesting. Are there any plans to potentially abandon or move any facilities? I know the Air Force has been dealing with major facility damage in the past couple of years, especially from floods and hurricanes, and they're considering abandoning certain of those facilities, according to some of our reporting. Any of that on your end, or are you repairing and modernizing pretty much everything?
Right now, we don't have any plans to abandon any facilities, but we are looking at making sure that wherever we rebuild a facility, that we can rebuild it to resiliency standards so it can survive a future storm that might impact that area. So.
Okay, and so I assume that's part of the money you've gotten from your boost in your budget from 2019, and the current 2020 budget proposal calls for another boost. I've heard Commandant Schultz, Vice Admiral Abel, and a few other senior people tell Congress that the focus for a lot of these budget boosts and the extra money that the Coast Guard's gotten in the previous years is focused on building readiness. How is this translating to improvements in the Atlantic area, aside from more resilient facilities?
Yeah, the money I was talking about there, the funds I was talking about there, thanks to the great support from the administration and Congress, are really specifically related to damage that we sustained during the 2017 and 18 and actually 16 hurricane seasons from Hurricane Matthew.
Okay.
When the Commandant talks about readiness, it's really, again, we get great support from the administration and Congress in our 19 and the budget that's currently before Congress for fiscal year 20. And the Commandant talks about his top priority being service readiness. And that really is at making sure that we have this extraordinary Coast Guard workforce, active duty, civilian, reserve, and auxiliary, and really making sure that they have the tools they need to do their jobs and to excel at their jobs. We made some great progress over the past few years recapitalizing our fleet of ships. We're making great progress there, but on the operating side of things, our budget's been flatlined, which kind of erodes our purchasing power. And that's really what the Commandant's talking about, so we can get the necessary funding to address some of the concerns we have in terms of providing the tools to our folks, whether that's the right IT tools, the right IT infrastructure, whether it's to invest in our shore capital plan.
So what kind of IT tools and infrastructure are you talking about particularly? I know, especially with like hurricane response, communications is a big deal, being able to talk to all of your assets. So what kind of tools and infrastructure are you looking for?
We're really looking at making sure we have the right tools, that we properly invest in our IT infrastructure, recapitalizing it at a reasonable rate, but also providing, I would say, mobile technology and in the hands of folks that are out doing Coast Guard missions, and they have mobile technology that allows them to do the job a little bit better and more efficiently.
So when you say mobile technology, is that like bringing like tablets out into the field as opposed to doing paper forms, being able to get it filled out and submitted immediately? Or does that take another form, like maybe like Internet of Things sensors, things like that?
It's the type of things you're talking about, kind of tie the technology that folks are out there doing Coast Guard missions, whether it's inspecting a ship, whether it's doing a law enforcement operation. They have tools they can have to enter data, access databases, and that type of things you're talking about.
After the break, I'll continue speaking with Vice Admiral Scott Bushman, Atlantic Area Commander for the U.S. Coast Guard, about hurricane preparedness. I'm David Thornton.
Advancements in technologies present federal agencies with both opportunities and challenges. At Verizon, we embrace those challenges. Verizon invests billions in our global networks every year to deliver secure data reliably. Our advanced communication solutions and modern call centers connect your workforce and citizens in the office, in the field, and internationally. We're committed to modernization that delivers better mission results faster. Verizon,
We don't wait for the future. We build it. VerizonEnterprise.com/federalIT.
Welcome back to Special Bulletin Review, Securing Our Citizens While Modernizing. I'm David Thornton. My guest is Vice Admiral Scott Bushman, Atlantic Area Commander for the U.S. Coast Guard. We're talking about the upcoming hurricane season, how the Coast Guard prepares for it, and lessons learned from recent years. So I'd like to go back to some of those new programs and procedures and initiatives that you said you were talking about with the disaster response and the lessons learned from the previous hurricanes. Can you go into a little more depth on them? Start with personnel, if we'd like. What are some of the issues you've run into in the past, and how are you addressing those?
Well, in any given storm, we're going to use whatever the impacted area is. It's a good chance we're going to need to send additional people there. So we're looking at how we go about mobilizing them and making sure our folks have the right training and skill set to do whatever function we're asking them to do. We tend to use the incident command system. I didn't have any response, and there's different qualifications folks need to do that. So it includes things such as the training that you need to do their jobs. It includes things, in the Coast Guard, we have a very dedicated reserve force. So we sometimes use in these types of contingency operations. And how we go about recalling those folks and making sure that we're efficiently able to recall them and get them down to where they're needed in an efficient manner, and making sure that they have the necessary administrative support to get recalled to go down to an impacted area. So there's a whole variety of different things we've identified and are working on.
Okay, and some of these new technological assets you said that have been purchased and applied to disaster response, like especially you said some UAS technologies, can you tell me a little bit more about them and how they're going to be used?
What I'm talking about for hurricane response, we're investing in UAS technology throughout the Coast Guard, including some on board our ships. But for hurricane response, we've actually used some small UAS incorporated with some of our teams that go out there and do flood response in a land environment that may be flooded, where they're going out through neighborhoods and shallow water boats and incorporating UAS technology, small UAS technology, allows them to kind of go ahead and see what's ahead of them, where people may be in need of assistance and have a better situational awareness of the area they're working in. And these teams are going to come from out of the area, so they're not going to be real familiar with this team. So having that small UAS technology really allows them to do their job a lot better.
Any advancements in the way you use communications technology in general? I remember a couple of years ago during one of the hurricanes, there were people calling for help via social media and being tracked down via social media to get rescued from where they were. They were trapped on rooftops or whatnot. Any plans to incorporate social media or any new communications technologies in disaster response?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. This is in the past couple of years where people have used social media. We really encourage folks to use established distress systems. If in a maritime environment, that includes, there's a VHF distress system that mariners use. In a land environment, it's the 911 system. We really encourage folks to use those systems, because when you use those systems, you know you're going to receive someone on the other end of the line that's trained in what information to get from you, what questions to ask, so the proper resources can provide to assist. If we see something in social media where someone's asking for assistance, we'll address that. But one of the challenges of social media is there's no guarantee that to someone or a trained person at the other end of that that's able to receive that information. So we will respond to it if we see it, but we really encourage folks to use the established distress mechanisms that are in place, and have folks at the other end that are trained in how to receive that information and determine what course of action is needed based on the situation.
Okay, so it's definitely not the communication method of choice then.
That's correct.
Are there any plans to try to develop procedures to standardize maybe a social media response or a presence to help with disaster response, or is that something that's still kind of nebulous and difficult to manage?
It is difficult to manage. And like I said, if we do receive social media awareness of someone posting something on social media, we'll make sure that appropriate action is taken. But really, again, I can't stress enough, we really encourage folks to use the established distress mechanisms that are tried and true and tested.
Vice Admiral Scott Bushman is the Atlantic Area Commander for the U.S. Coast Guard. You can find this interview at federalnewsnetwork.com. I'm David Thornton.
To hear the entire interview, log on to federalnewsnetwork.com and search Special Bulletin.
Advancements in technologies present federal agencies with both opportunities and challenges. At Verizon, we embrace those challenges. Verizon invests billions in our global networks every year to deliver secure data reliably. Our advanced communication solutions and modern call centers connect your workforce and citizens in the office, in the field, and internationally. We're committed to modernization that delivers better mission results faster. Verizon. We don't wait for the future. We build it. VerizonEnterprise.com/federalIT.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Of course.
Who's asking? I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Sup?
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like. Consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay, Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I'm getting older. Do I need to worry about falling?
Yes, you do. Every year, 1 in 4 people 65 and older will experience a fall. And many result in serious injury. The majority of falls happen at home. So take a look around. Replace bulbs and add lighting to help you see obstacles. Remove things that can make you trip. Fix uneven steps and floors. And install handrails in bathrooms and on stairs. Consider balance or strength training exercises, which can help with agility. Get your eyes and hearing checked regularly. Changes in your hearing can affect your balance. To learn more, please talk to your doctor about steps you can take to help prevent a fall. You can also visit aarpfoundation.org or medicaremadeclear.com/falls. This message was brought to you by United Healthcare and AARP Foundation.